welcome to the Advisor Pact monthly session. I'm Mark Little. Each month we get together to discuss how to deliver truly comprehensive financial services, not just at any level, but at a level that is high enough to actually increase the number of referrals that you receive, so that your clients think that the value that you're providing is so remarkable that they just can't help themselves from remarking to everyone that they know and that they love and that they care about, that they'd be crazy to talk to anybody about their money other than you. And so the basis of all this is making an advisor pact with each and every client that you will provide oversight and deliver truly comprehensive financial services. And each month we get together to address questions that you have submitted in order to deliver at that level. So this month we received a bunch of questions. But the one that I selected, there was one question that came in from four offices, from advisors and administrative managers in the Advisor Pack monthly program. And that question is, what does the first 90 days of a new client relationship look like? In other words, how do we onboard a new client into comprehensive financial services? So this is a very simple question with quite a bit involved with the response, but we're going to delve into something that we've talked about a lot, and even in the Kate Wilson case study, we outlined the three-meeting process. So what we're going to be describing is a timeline, and it's not just the first 90 days, it's actually the first 104 days, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But The only tool that I have to really respond to this question is to use the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. Now, I realize that in the Advisor Pack monthly program, you don't have access to the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. That being said, this is where the advisors at the highest end are delivering on truly comprehensive financial services at the level that you're wanting to discuss. And so the only tool that I really have is to show you how we describe this to advisors who are in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. So we'll use kind of the toolkit philosophies here, but when we get to the exact deliverables and how you deliver on that, you're in the process of figuring all that out in your own business, but I'm going to use what we teach in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit just to simplify the conversation. All right, so there are a couple things you have to understand before you get into this topic. So before you really think about how do I deliver at a very high level in the first 90 or 104 days of a client relationship, there are a couple premises that you have to have clear in your mind. First and foremost is that we are delivering on some specific deliverables. We call them the 10 client deliverables. Those 10 client deliverables actually represent what we define as comprehensive financial services. And I'll share those here in just a moment. But how those 10 client deliverables are actually delivered to clients is through a platform that we've developed and that we recommend and is fully described in the Kate Wilson case study, and we've discussed in past episodes of the Advisor Pack monthly session, and that is the three-meeting process. So we have this meeting process that we're going to implement with all of our clients. It's called the three-meeting process, and that is how the 10 client deliverables are delivered to our clients. Now, each member of the team, your administrative manager, your tax and money management, financial planning, insurance, estate planning, all your subject matter experts who are delivering the mechanics of comprehensive financial services, they each have their roles, they each have their assignments in each of these meetings in the three-meeting process. But let's start with the 10 client deliverables. So, what are they? We had to come up with, 15 years ago, some definition for the term comprehensive financial services. At the time, between, 1999, when I first started exploring this, I had been in the business 12 years at that time, but as I was contemplating delivering truly comprehensive financial services, I did quite a bit of research on this, and there was really no clear definition of what comprehensive financial services actually means. And I searched high and low. You had the CFP folks and the college talking about delivering, you know, creating financial plans. And I looked at quite a few academic studies on this topic, only to decide that comprehensive financial services means different things to different people. So we sat down with our team, and we did an exhaustive study on this, and we spent 2 years, and we developed what we now call the 10 client deliverables. So when you deliver on these 10 client deliverables on an annual basis, this is the definition of comprehensive financial services. So the first deliverable is, and by the way, as I go through these again, this is the way we teach it on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. We have all these tools developed turnkey. So a lot, you know, you may have questions on some of this that I'm going to be describing. If so, that's the purpose of the monthly session here. Just submit any questions about any language or any reports or anything that's a little unclear to you. That's the purpose of having this monthly session. So the 10 client deliverables begins with a very simple concept, and that is that most clients don't have an overarching strategy. So now, let me tell you what I'm not talking about when I say overarching strategy. I'm not talking about a financial plan that a certified financial planner has entered a bunch of data into a software program, and they've cranked out, you know, dozens if not hundreds of reports which basically report back to the client on assessing whatever it is that they're doing in their financial plan. This is the point. Financial plan means different things to different people, so we renamed it. You'll never find us describing this as a financial plan. Why? Because our industry has kind of poisoned that term. It means different things. It means one thing to clients. It means another thing to financial advisors. It means yet another thing to the academics. And so let's just call it a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy that's created for every client, and it's created by all the subject matter experts led by the financial planning subject matter expert. So first and foremost, every client has an overarching strategy. Second, we create a step-by-step plan of action, and that is literally a list of action items and recommendations coming from everyone on the team. So we noticed over the years that that some subject matter experts are a little more thorough than others, and some subject matter experts kind of come up with recommendations well into the client relationship, where they're telling the client, you know, it goes without saying that such and such is good practice and good recommendation. And so we drew the line and said, look, if it's not listed on a document that we call the GPS, which we recommend that you create for every client, it's a simple step-by-step plan of action listing every recommendation from every subject matter expert, not only for this year, but for every year of the client's life. If a subject matter expert can envision a recommendation 10 or 15 or 20 years from now that is important and smart for the strategy, they'll list it on the GPS. So we get, it's a good discipline for the team, and it's a great value to the client. It's actually one of the most valuable deliverables from a client perspective. This is one of the things that when you ask clients, what do you value most? The GPS is one of those things. And what it is just a simple list of every recommendation from everyone on the team in one report. Third, progress reports. Now, our industry is famous for cranking out financial reports. So, you know, every institution has what they think are brilliant reports that the clients are going to love, and they send them out periodically. Financial planners, they create, as I said, dozens if not hundreds of reports, graphing and charting all kinds of things. What we did is in 2002, we spent some time doing this. We surveyed affluent clients, and we sat down and showed them reports. We showed them mainly the reports we felt like we needed in order to do our job. But at the same time, we assessed what clients like and what they hate about these reports. So what we did was we distilled these reports down to some critical reports that represent that where we've plucked only the most important information, the information that clients say that they must have in order to make big decisions. And among those are the progress reports. So rather than, you know, talking about a client's investments and showing them charts and graphs, benchmarking the performance against benchmarks that the client could care less about, you know, wider indexes of the market, or, you know, just comparing portfolio performance against, you know, any benchmark other than the client's own goals. So what we discovered was clients want to see progress reports not against the market, not, in other words, not how my investments are doing as compared to other investments. I want to see the progress of my investments towards my goals. So show me how much I need to accomplish on my goals. Show me how much I've got accumulated and what my current amounts are. And those are the progress reports that become the, one of the 10 client deliverables. And then just the activity of asset investment or money management, whatever you want to call it, this is a key service for clients. The problem is many advisors think this is the only service that they provide. So they tend to they do what they know. So many financial advisors that you'll be competing with, they are actually money management firms, or they are selling money management services, as in selling a percentage of assets, selling a turnkey asset management program, otherwise known as, you know, privately managed separate accounts or managed accounts of some sort. And often the advisor will be compensated for that service as a percentage of assets under management. So, you know, in talking with clients, this is an important role, but it's just one of the 10. It's not any more necessarily important than any of the others. And you should certainly, if you want to radically differentiate yourself from other advisors, not overemphasize this area and not spend a lot of time in client meetings talking about performance or doing updates of the market or any such thing. Focus on the client's goals, but do manage the money behind the scenes in a way that's suitable and appropriate for this client with their goals. Annual tax projection. So in the area of tax, there's really two. The two deliverables that are required for the to deliver on the promise of the 10 client deliverables is, before the tax deadline, your tax expert on your team will conduct a annual tax projection. In other words, while there's still time to do things to benefit the client, to either reduce their taxes or take advantage of opportunities, there is a tax projection completed. And then to make sure that the client files their taxes on time. Or if you're in Australia, you lodge your taxes on time. But the point is, many clients, they have accountants or they are whatever their tax arrangement is. You know, many accountants out there just like to file extensions and put it off. The job, one of the 10 client deliverables is not necessarily to do the tax return. That's definitely not what we're talking about. But it is important to review the tax return prior to the filing deadline to make sure that there's another set of eyes looking at those. And this is the oversight role that we talk about so often in Advisor Pact, so that you're protecting your client. But the nevertheless, the goal has got to be set that our goal is to file on time. Now, that may or may not always be possible, but if you set it as a goal, then the client will file or lodge their tax returns as soon as practical. And you are the one providing oversight and pushing to make sure that that's filed quickly and accurately and on time. From you, one of the 10 clients deliverable, one of the 10 client deliverables is estate planning, that you're going to ensure both while the client's alive and while after the client has gone, that their assets have control people. So let's say a client's disabled, even for a short period of time, perhaps a horrible auto accident or something. You're going to make sure that all the assets are, that there is somebody in charge of the assets. And you are going to make sure that after the client's long gone, that the assets are being deployed in the way that the client wants them to be deployed to the beneficiaries and the heirs of the estate. So you're going to make sure that there's a plan in place, and you're going to create a document called the legacy flow, which is the estate plan on one piece of paper. And then the goal blueprint is a deliverables, one of the 10 client deliverables. This is where the financial planner creates a one-pager for each goal that the client has set, each financial objective. This will describe both the strategies and tactics for both the funding, what we call the accumulation phase, funding towards the goal, and then the decumulation phase, which is the funding actual, dispersing of funds to fund the goal once the time comes. So the goal blueprint itself is updated annually, but in the three-meeting process, you meet with clients three times a year. That's once every 4 months. The goal status, which is to say whether each goal is on track or off track, is updated every 4 months prior to every client progress meeting. And then ninth, cash reserves and debt management. Not every client has debt, but every client has a need for cash reserves. And one of the ways to deploy, a decision to be made to deploy cash, is whether is the debt repayment schedule. So so we combine these two because not every client has debt. And the acceleration of debt is a decision for kind of a use of cash issue. So or a use of cash flow and income issue. But the point is, the ninth deliverable is to create annually a cash reserves plan for contingencies and to update the debt repayment schedule. And then 10th and final deliverable is a comprehensive safety review. This means the creation of the insurance grid, which is a one-pager summarizing all the client's insurance policies with all the pertinent information on one sheet of paper. But also, this comprehensive safety review represents a full and total and complete annual review of the client's insurance by your insurance subject matter expert. And in the meeting, there's the comprehensive safety review exercise, where you sit down with a client and you discuss strategies to increase the safety of their overall strategy. So these are the 10 client deliverables. By the way, I have included in the on the replay page for this episode a download for the 10 client deliverables. So if you want to look at the 10 client deliverables later, as well as a delivery plan and who we recommend you assign each of these 10 client deliverables to on your team, you can download that document. So now you've got what we describe as the comprehensive financial services. You're able and willing to deliver on all 10 of the client deliverables. Now back to the question, how do we deploy this? What are the first 90 days or the first, why do I say 104 days? Well, let's look at the beginning stages of how you start deploying the 10 client deliverables with a new client. So what you're looking at here is the three-meeting process. So the three-meeting process is actually comprised of two sets of three meetings each. The first set, the initial client interview, the implementation meeting, and the initial progress update, those are the first three meetings with a client. This is what you're talking about when you talk about the onboarding of a new client. And so we'll go into that here in a little bit more detail in a minute. But after the initial three meetings with a client, which occur only once in the client relationship, you do these first three meetings just once with every client, and then after that, you the advisor releases the client into the routine three-meeting process, which is the comprehensive safety review, the goal progress outlook, and the annual review. And those are the meetings that occur every 4 months forever with this client. So the three-meeting process is the method that is used to convey the 10 client deliverables. So when we say the 10 client deliverables, they are backed up by a whole bunch of deliverables checkpoints. Now, we've talked about this in the Advisor Pack monthly in past episodes. You might want to go back and listen to some of the past episodes about this. In the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, we have 143 deliverables checkpoints which support these 10 client deliverables. We assign them to each of the subject matter experts: financial planning, money management, insurance, tax, and estate planning, those five subject matter experts. And we split the deliverables checkpoints up into these meetings so that they are rotated and covered. But the thing you need to understand is that you have your own, you know, if you're not using the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, we have taught you and will continue to show you how to maintain your own list, how to create and maintain your own list of deliverables checkpoints which support these same 10 client deliverables. These checkpoints that you're going to be creating are across all the fields of personal finance, just to be sure that nothing falls through the cracks. But the key here is that you only invite subject matter experts onto your team who are really skilled and have their own professional process for onboarding a client. So here's a tip, and we've talked about this before, but let me just summarize by saying here's a tip in before you select any subject matter experts for your team. It's to assess, do they have their own professional process that's more robust than your deliverables checkpoints. Now, why do we say that? Why does your subject matter expert need to have a process that's more robust than the deliverables checkpoints, which represent a checklist, which once they're all checked off, that represents delivery of the 10 client deliverables? Well, we say this because the deliverables checkpoints are designed to be a mere safety net or a backstop for your subject matter expert's own robust process. So just imagine this. You have a financial planner, a money manager, an insurance, a tax, and an estate planning subject matter expert, each of whom have a professional process. In other words, they've had top good clients before, affluent clients who meet your profile. They're used to dealing with this type of person. They've onboarded them themselves many times before they've ever met you, and they know what they're doing. They have a professional process that's quite robust, and when they look at your deliverables checkpoints assigned to their narrow field of finance, they kind of shrug and say, yes, this is a good start, but it's not nearly as thorough as my own process. Then you're on the right track. So imagine if you had every subject matter expert who had a professional process that was as good or better than your own deliverables checkpoints, then that means your checkpoints are simply there as a matter of consistency to make sure that there's a safety net so that nothing's overlooked on any of your clients. Okay, so, but while we're talking about this, let's get back to the question. So, as we talk about the, you know, what do the first 90 days look like, if you look at the timeline of the three-meeting process, let's convert that 90 days into the actual number of days that we recommend in the three-meeting process. So, you have an initial client interview with a client. You sit down with them, and if they meet your profile, then you are going to invite them into your ideal client community to deliver comprehensive financial services. Okay? So they say yes. And so they become a client officially. And now 14 days later, I know it sounds quick, but we've tested this for years. It should be 14 days or so, you know, not to exceed 14 days after the initial client interview is the meeting that we call the implementation meeting. So that's 14 days later. So what do you do at the implementation meeting? What could you possibly do in 14 days? I mean, your subject matter experts are going to scream to high heaven that they can't not create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy in 14 days. So what do you do in those 14 days? Well, you have received all of the client's financial documents, all their all their financial statements, all their investment statements, all of their tax returns going back several years. Certainly have received all the copies of their wills and trusts. So in other words, at the point of the initial client interview, the objective immediately is to make sure that you have all the client documents. Let me pause just a minute. We in the Advisor Pact program only deal with, once you've acquired an ideal client, how do you deliver comprehensive financial services? So what we don't do in the Advisor Pact monthly program is talk about client acquisition. So we're not here to help you acquire clients. We understand that we assume you know how to do that. And we take the approach that if you want to get more referrals you'll do what we're doing here in this program. You'll become more referable. In other words, you'll create a service that actually has all the elements behind the scenes of what it is that the most affluent clients seeking comprehensive financial services are wanting in an advisor. So you are doing what other advisors are unwilling to do, and that is, rather than focus on client acquisition tactics, you are actually building out the delivery of truly comprehensive financial services behind the scenes that, as you get this in place, your clients aren't going to be able to help themselves but refer you because the experience is so much more thorough and so much more comprehensive than anything they've ever seen. And so that makes you more referable. That being said, for the process that we recommend for client acquisition, we recommend Bill Bachrach's Financial Roadmap. So if you are in need of a client acquisition methodology, we recommend Bill Bachrach. Just go to, I believe it's BillBachrach.com, and inquire as to how you can get training for using the Financial Roadmap. This whole system that we developed was around values-based financial planning. So there's a little disclosure that I need to make there. But at the end of the day, values-based financial planning, this whole Financial Roadmap process developed by Bill Bachrach, is, in my opinion, the best client acquisition methodology in our industry. Matter of fact, we laugh and say it's the best client acquisition, it's the second best client acquisition methodology in the industry, second only to winging it. So definitely recommend, if you don't have an initial client interview process, contact Bill Bachrach's team and get yourself skilled in the Financial Roadmap. It's a very compelling initial client interview. That being said, you have the initial client interview, you gather all the client documents. In 2 weeks' time, it's the job of your subject matter experts just simply to look at the documents, to get to just glance at them, absorb them, for mainly two purposes. One is to assess if there are documents missing, anything else they need to see, and to document those and get those back to your administrative manager so that at the implementation meeting, you can provide the client with what let's call an items still needed checklist. But the other thing you want your subject matter experts to do is report on anything that just jumps off the page at them. So it's not an onerous task over that 14 days. We just simply want every subject matter expert to glance through all the documents, see if there's missing documents, what else do they need to see, and to just document anything that jumps off the page at them immediately. It may be questions, like glaring questions. There may be some initial recommendations. Who knows? Just ask your subject matter experts to do those two things, and that's definitely doable in 14 days. And then if you look at the rest of this, there is there's a 90-day process where your team is creating this comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. It's culminated at the initial comprehensive safety review, which is where the advisor releases the client into the routine three-meeting process. But for our purposes of discussion today, that comprehensive safety review meeting is when the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy is finalized and approved by the advisor. And what happens in between, in the middle of that 90-day process, is a meeting called the Initial Progress Update, and we'll talk more about that later in a minute here. But it's basically a point in the middle of your team's creation of this comprehensive strategy for the client, that you meet with the client again to gather documents that may be still needed and to give initial to report on initial progress as your team is going through your client's financial affairs and creating the lifetime strategy. Let me show you. Let me show you a spreadsheet which was created by one of you. It was created by an advisor. This was created by an advisor in the UK. And I know it's a little busy, so I'm going to kind of walk you through this, but it really goes to the question that you're asking about let's not call it the first 90 days, let's call it the first 104 days. So it's the 90 days plus the first 14 days, that's 104 days. Let me walk you through this. What you're looking at here is a spreadsheet created by an advisor who is just, this is another view of the graphic that we just looked at describing the three meeting process. So this is the three meeting process, including the initial three one-time meetings and the three routine ongoing meetings, but it gives it from the perspective of how many checkpoints are we dealing with. So keep in mind, you're going to have however many deliverables checkpoints that you develop to support these 10 client deliverables. However, in the toolkit, we have 143 deliverables checkpoints. So let's just use that as a baseline, and let me walk you through this. So this advisor sent this email to me many years ago, but in essence, he said, this is, you know, his question was, have I got this right? So it starts with, you know, here's the initial discovery meeting. Sit down with a client, and you have your client acquisition meeting, at the end of which, if they meet your profile, you're going to invite them to join your ideal client community. They say yes, you sign agreements, now you've got a new client. Now the clock is ticking, and let's go through the first 104 days. So 14 days later is the implementation meeting. Now it shows here, just to kind of emphasize what you're looking at here, it shows here that there are some checkpoints. So here, these are deliverables checkpoints that are being completed in between each meeting. So it's showing some non-specific number of deliverables checkpoints being completed here. However, as we said, there really are no checkpoints that are completed between the initial discovery meeting, the initial client interview, and the implementation meeting. Okay, so that it's just for the subject matter experts to review the documents. However, 45 days later, so now let's call this 59 days into the process, now your team has completed what I'm going to call the first pass of all your checkpoints. In the case of the toolkit, it would be the first pass through the 143 deliverables checkpoints. As you sit down with your subject matter experts and establish deliverables checkpoints to support the 10 client deliverables, my recommendation is that you set it as a goal of your team, however many deliverables checkpoints you've got, that your team in the first 59 days, that's 2 months, take a first pass through all of them. This means that the comprehensive lifetime strategy for the client is now beginning to emerge. I would say it's 80% complete at this point. Your team has gone through all your checkpoints for the first time, and then you have the initial progress update meeting. So this is 59 days into the client relationship. Now, 45 days later, we recommend that your team go back through all your checkpoints a second time, and that, you know, this is what we call the second pass. And this is where each of your subject matter experts within their narrow field of finance, they really do a deep dive and look at all the documents at a much deeper level. For example, the financial planner, whereas they may have looked at everything and created an initial pass based on all your checkpoints, and they have projections and everything created, they may now take the time in this 45 days to look at very carefully at perhaps the client's benefits plans. So if they have you know, employee benefits, or if they own a business and they've got retirement savings plans, whatever they've got, whatever the case, your financial planner will invest 45 days going through all of those, you know, every word, every paragraph in those documents to make sure that your subject matter financial planner is fully in command of understanding those plans. Your tax expert will spend this 45 days going back through the last several years of tax returns and really absorbing them and understanding them at a deep level. Your estate planning attorney will be investing this 45 days reading all the wills and trusts, every word, every comma, and just completely in a full understanding of the wills and trusts. And your insurance expert will, of course, read all of the insurance policies, the exclusions, the limitations, look at all the annuities and any surrender charges, all these different things, factors are looked at in the next 45 days. So now we're 140 days into the process. Now you have your initial comprehensive safety review. This is where at the dry run prep meeting prior to this initial comprehensive safety review, the trusted advisor looks at the lifetime strategy proposed by the team, all the action items and recommendations listed on the GPS, all of your deliverables checkpoints have been gone through twice with a deep dive over the last 45 days, and now a formal comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy is proposed by your team, then approved by the advisor. And the advisor releases the client now into what we call the routine three-meeting process. So that's the initial comprehensive safety review is the end mark of that. That's the 104 days. So it's basically you need to make sure that your team has completed the client's strategy, lifetime strategy, by this point. And it's prior to the initial comprehensive safety review, which is on day 104 of the new client relationship. So that is the first 104 days. And then just real quickly to look then thereafter at the remainder of the client relationship for the rest of the years that you'll be dealing with them till the end of their life. You'll notice that now we're not going through all the checkpoints at every meeting, but I do want to comment that just a reminder, you have selected your subject matter expert because they have a more robust process than your checkpoints, which simply serve as a safety net. So what we're saying here is it's very common that subject matter experts actually do look at all their checkpoints prior to every meeting, if only to run their finger down the list to make sure nothing jumps off the page as a relevant issue for that client for that meeting. But if we're talking about the safety net, yes, we are splitting the checkpoints basically into thirds. We're assigning a third of the list at each of the client progress meetings, and we're kind of rotating through the safety net just to make sure nothing's falling through the cracks. So the checkpoints are split up from the three meetings. You have 66 checkpoints. The first, you know, at the goal progress update meeting between the comprehensive safety review and the goal progress update, you have 62 checkpoints roughly. These numbers as we've added checkpoints, these numbers have changed over the years, but it's roughly right. And so by the annual review, between the goal progress outlook and the annual review, there's a bunch of checkpoints. And then you do a bunch of checkpoints assigned prior to the comprehensive safety review, and you're back to square one. You're back at the comprehensive safety review, and you just cycle through these again. By the way, if you're curious why these checkpoints, 66, 62, and 56, don't add up to 143, it's because some of the checkpoints are done at every meeting. So it's not that all checkpoints are done just once a year. For example, the progress reports that we talked about earlier are created prior to every client progress meeting. So those are every 4 months. But anyway, that's the three-meeting process looked at in another view. So I want to just walk you through. I'm going to keep going through this from different perspectives. Now we're going to kind of look at it from the perspective of each team member. So let me just give you another kind of graphic representation of this first 104 days. Just walk you through it. So the advisor meets a potential client and begins the client acquisition process. So this is a series of face-to-face meetings, phone calls, follow-up phone calls, culminating in an initial client interview. So advisor meets a new potential client, and then some period passes, and then at some point some of those will show up in the office for an initial client interview. And this is what I'm recommending should be a financial roadmap, you know, Bill Bachrach's financial roadmap. But whatever the case, the initial client interview comes next. Then 14 days later, there's the implementation meeting. That's where your subject matter experts have simply reviewed all the documents, documented what is missing or what else, other information or questions they have for the client, and as well as anything that jumps off the page from the initial documents, anything that your subject matter experts want to comment about for the implementation meeting. And then 45 days elapses. There's the initial progress update meeting. 45 days after that is the initial comprehensive safety review. Now, that's the 100. That is the 104-day cycle. So when you look at this, you know, just reiterating this so for clarity, this is the 104 days that we're talking about. This is the first 104 days of every client relationship. So let's take this meeting by meeting, but this time let's look at it from the from everybody on the team's perspective, because everybody's got a different role in this. You have the administrative manager. That's your that's your project leader. That's your individual on your team that's coordinating your subject matter experts and coordinating the client progress meetings, so that you as the trusted advisor don't have to. You as a trusted advisor should be investing 80% of your time face-to-face or on the phone with clients, serving them, or face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients. That's 80% of your time. So to pull that off and to focus on those priorities, that's going to require that you have an administrative manager as project leader to make sure everything that should be happening is happening behind the scenes without you having to mess with it. So we have the administrative manager's roles, then you have your various subject matter experts' roles, and you as a trusted advisor, your roles. So let's kind of walk through this meeting by meeting. And and the first meeting, you know, let's talk about here when you initially meet a potential client. Well, the trusted, so past follow-up. So like if you've, you know, promised to follow up or promised to contact a potential client to schedule an initial meeting, then that's the responsibility of the advisor. So the advisor is the one that meets new potential clients and push it, kind of moves the potential client through the process up to the initial client interview. It's the administrative manager's job to provide oversight, believe it or not, over the trusted advisor. And when I say oversight, I mean knowing the names of all referrals, knowing the list of the pool of potential clients, just to make sure that there's oversight, that the trusted advisor is moving the process forward with every name that's on the list of a potential client. So as far as any meeting assignments, there are no meetings prior to the initial client interview, but after you've set the initial client interview, it's up to the administrative manager to make assignments for the subject matter experts. So the trusted advisor is not an individual who's responsible for getting things done for meetings. It should be your subject matter experts with assignments made by the administrative manager. So as far as deliverables checkpoints, there's nothing at this point. But what you'll notice as we go through this, this template remains the same for every meeting. Administrative manager makes assignments. Subject matter experts responsible for both any deliverables checkpoints or any meeting reports that are to be created. Those are all the subject matter experts. And then once all that's created, the deadline before the dry run prep meeting, both the subject matter experts and the trusted advisor review all the work, not the work just of each of what you've completed, but everybody, every subject matter expert is required to look and review it, the work of all the others. This is what radically differentiates your model from other advisors' models. You not only have a team, but they are collaborating with each other and reviewing each other's work, which creates a lot of creative additional action items and recommendations simply from the activity of reviewing each other's work. Then there's a dry run prep meeting. Actually, prior to the initial client interview, that is optional. And as far as the we'll continue to go through that. But the point is, the administrative manager, if there's a dry run prep meeting, facilitates the dry run prep meeting. This, by the way, I know I'm telling you stuff you already know. Every meeting with a client is preceded by a dry run prep meeting, which is a week to 10 days before the meeting. Just think of it as a little 20-minute dress rehearsal to make sure everything's completed and everything's in place. And so with the exception of the initial client interview and the implementation meeting, where the dry run prep meeting is optional and most advisors don't hold one. But this is a template. And so if there's a dry run prep meeting, the administrative manager facilitates that meeting in the meeting, and the subject matter experts attend and they contribute, and the trusted advisor is not is the receiver in this meeting. The trusted advisor is to attend and observe and not contribute. It's up to the administrative manager facilitating the subject matter experts to present everything to the trusted advisor. They're the pitchers, and the trusted advisor is the receiver. So think of the trusted advisor. If you hold a dry run prep meeting prior to an initial client interview, the trusted advisor who's simply a consumer. And then as far as the actual client progress meeting, it's the trusted advisor who conducts the meeting itself. So let's go through each of these meetings and let's fly through this just to, so now we're at the initial client interview. Same template, post-meeting follow-ups, anything that's from the past needs to be overseen by the administrative manager, but it's the subject matter experts who do all post-meeting follow-up. They're responsible. It's the administrative manager's job to make assignments. In the case of the initial client interview, as we said, the only real assignment is for each subject matter expert to look over the documents of the client and to point out anything that's missing and to just document anything that jumps off the page, any initial recommendations or just some, you know, glaring questions that come up based on the documents that they've received. But it's subject matter experts who are responsible for doing that. And that's pretty much it. And deliverables checkpoints, there are none at this point. But if there are, let's say the advisor notices that the client doesn't even have a will. Well, maybe you'll pluck a deliverables checkpoint out of order just to do some triage and address some really pressing issues of gaps in planning. But regardless, if there are deliverables checkpoints, it's the administrative manager who makes the assignments. Could be from the lead of the trusted advisor who's noticing things, but directing the administrative manager to make the assignments because the checkpoints are all documented. But it's the subject matter experts who deliver on those and who are responsible. As far as the meeting deadline, the administrative manager makes the assignments for the meeting, and it's the subject matter experts who are responsible for meeting that deadline, all deadlines. And then it's the subject matter experts and the advisor who review the work of all the subject matter experts. Administrative manager facilitates the dry run prep meeting. Subject matter experts contribute. That's if you have a dry run prep meeting prior to the implementation meeting. It's optional. And, of course, the advisor is the one who conducts the client progress meeting. And the same goes through for all of these. So then you have an implementation meeting. This is what we've talked about, the initial progress update. Now, keep in mind, this is 45 days later. This is at the end of the 59-day process. You've had an initial client interview. 14 days has elapsed. Now there's the implementation meeting and now the IPU. The initial progress update meeting occurs 59 days, this is almost 2 months, into the client relationship. So now all of this template is starting to unfold in a very serious way at this meeting. This is where I say that the trusted advisor should now have, because the subject matter experts are responsible for all these things, the trusted advisor should now have a comprehensive lifetime strategy for this client that's 80% completed. I like to call it wet ink. You have a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy for the client prepared for this meeting, but the ink is wet. It will be dried prior to the next meeting. But you're having the initial progress update meeting to do just as the name of the meeting suggests. You're giving the client initial progress, but the main thing for the team is they are invariably 60 days in going to have some additional questions about this client for this client, or some documents, information and documents that they still require from the client, either that they've just identified that they need or that the client's kind of dragging their feet a little bit. So we have a meeting at this 59-day point to bring the client in, report on initial progress, and to get everything that's missing. Create a deadline so that the client And that's the IPU. And then it all culminates at the 104th day with the initial comprehensive safety review meeting, same template. All the subject matter experts are pretty much responsible for everything. All the post-meeting follow-up from the initial progress update meeting, subject matter experts are responsible for that. The meeting assignments are made by the administrative manager but completed by the subject matter experts. The deliverables checkpoints are assigned by the administrative managers, but the subject matter experts are responsible for completing those. As far as meeting deadlines, there are probably several report deadlines, and there's a drop dead date when everything has to be back to the administrative manager prior to the dry run prep meeting. It's the administrative manager who makes those assignments and those deadlines. It's the subject matter expert's responsibility to meet those deadlines. And then it's the job of the subject matter experts as well as the trusted advisor to review all the work of the other subject matter experts before the dry run prep meeting. Let me repeat that. Before the dry run prep meeting, all subject matter experts are to review the work of all the others. Then you have the dry run prep meeting facilitated by the administrative manager. The subject matter experts are delivering the content to the advisor who is attending the dry run prep meeting, just observing and consuming all the work. At which point, then, at the client progress meeting, the initial comprehensive safety review, the advisor can then conduct the meeting based on all the information that was prepared for the dry run prep meeting. So that's it. That's this 104-day process in a nutshell. And it is simply a restating of this three-meeting process that we began with. So you've got 10 client deliverables supported by all your deliverables checkpoints, which are delivered through this platform that we call the three-meeting process, and you invest the first 104 days in essence just ensuring your team has all the information and documents they need so that they will meet the deadline of completing the client's, each client's initial comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy before the 104th day. And then the advisor approves the strategy, meets with the client in the initial comprehensive safety review, and then now we enter the routine three-meeting process where we cycle through these meetings. The comprehensive safety review is, of course, focused on increasing safety. This is focused on insurance and other issues related to the client that will increase their safety. The Goal Progress Outlook focuses on two things, estate planning and behind-the-scenes money management. There are what we call the dirty dozen, at least on the toolkit, deliverables checkpoints, which are designed for the money manager to spot any fraudulent or unusual activity in the client's assets. But nevertheless, this is part of the protecting of the clients in the advisor pact that you're making. That's in the Goal Progress Outlook. Then in the annual review, you're updating it's the annual update of the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, including an update of the cash reserves plan and an updating of the client's debt plan. And then 4 months later, you're back to the comprehensive safety review. So it's cycling, you know, what Bill Bachrach describes as rinse, lather, repeat for the rest of the client's natural life. And that's it. So the question being, you know, what does the first 90 days of a new client relationship look like? Well, there it is. That's how you onboard a client into truly comprehensive financial services. So we've enjoyed going through this content with you this month. And as always, we wish you all the best in implementing. And until next month, I'm Mark Little.